The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. I am not as nervous as Gabe is. Gabe is nervous.
About this weekend?
Yeah, he said that if Jordan Love is out there, Chew,
yeah,
he's gonna be rusty.
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying he won't be rusty. But rusty Jordan Love, or to use, you know, your percentages as you were speaking about before, a 75% Jordan Love, an 80% Jordan Love, a 90% Jordan Love is still better than a 100% Malik Willis. And I am not as nervous about Jordan Love going out there and showing rust. There may be rust. You may see glimpses of it, but I don't think it's going to be overwhelming. I don't think it's going to be a reason why they lose this game. I haven't decided which direction I'm going to go from a wager standpoint. I guess Joshy and I will discuss it tonight on the weekly wager at Potawatomi Sportsbook, 6 to 7 right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. But I'm leaning Green Bay.
I think this game nationally is more about Minnesota than it is Green Bay.
Because they're undefeated. Shockingly undefeated.
Shockingly undefeated. Because much like me, they don't think it's sustainable. They've beat San Francisco, Houston back-to-back pretty handily. So I think, you know, if you're not a Packers fan or a Minnesota fan, I think this will tell you more about Minnesota. Because I think nationally people think, all right, Green Bay can still go 2-2, and they're still going to be in the playoffs and be there. Or at least have a chance to win it all. They're not sure about Minnesota. Now, I think if Minnesota does beat Green Bay with Jordan Love in Lambeau, probably have to be believers, right?
Probably.
So
they got a lot riding on it.
Does 2-2 scare you? It doesn't scare me at all.
Doesn't scare me, but I also think that the Packers can run the table in the division. That was my bold prediction on the Boldathon with Wildy and Tausch. Yeah, I think they can. Now, would it be tough? Yeah, but Detroit's having some issues right now.
Yeah, they have some issues.
They don't play them right now, which is unfortunate. But that's why I asked you earlier in the show, and I really want to dive into this here. Would it be a statement win? Or is week four of the NFL season too early to have a statement win?
No, I think it's a statement win. Because let's not forget, they played last week and pounded Houston without Hockenson and without Addison. So, I mean, I kind of gave him a pass on San Fran. I'm like, all right, San Fran's beat up. Still a good team. The defense is still very solid and beat them, so I still wasn't sold. Last week, Houston's a pretty good team. You got to believe a little more. Now, if they beat Green Bay, then you really believe.
Well,
then what I thought about the Bears early on, now it's the Vikings. And I said yesterday, I said, the Vikings now, I don't know if they're in the rear view or the side view. If they win, they're definitely in the side view.
You feel like they're coming up on in the blind spot?
They might be in the blind spot.
Just hanging out,
yeah.
Hanging around. The reason I think this could be a statement win is because this would elevate the Packers to the top spot in the division. And if you believe that the Vikings will be there towards the end, that they will be one of the teams that they have to beat, you know, to win the division, mm-hmm. maybe even them fighting in the playoff picture, it's good to get this one out of the way. I also feel like the Vikings are going to continue building on this. So you guys always talk about the way that you install an offense. And with Sam Darnold, they're not throwing the book at him week one, right, Chew?
I mean,
they're kind of saying baby steps, mm-hmm. guardrails, let's keep it, you know, let's make sure that we don't lose the game. Okay, then the next week, you show you can handle that, you get a little bit more. The next week, you show you can handle it, you get a little bit more. So this offense with Kevin O'Connell is going to keep evolving. I'm a little nervous about Aaron Jones. I'm a little nervous about him mm-hmm. with the revenge factor, wanting to show Green Bay that they made a mistake by not committing to him long term. I'm a little bit nervous that he has a big game. And as you have talked about, you know, repeatedly, Packers run defense will be tested.
Yes.
Is that somewhere that you think the Vikings could take advantage of the Packers this weekend?
They could, but typically when a player the first time around faces their old team. A lot of times they try to do too much. They try to do too much, and a lot of time that doesn't pan out. I don't know. Because I know Jordan's going to be rusty because he was rusty in game one. You know, he's starting to practice. Practice is nowhere near what game speed is going to be like. I just think it's going to be a really good game. It's going to be back and forth. I think at the end of the day, I don't know. To tell you the truth, I still don't believe in Minnesota. I think it's a little smoke and mirrors right now. Yes, I do. There's so many, like we talked about Philadelphia last year. Start off hot, and then they lose six in a row at the end of the year and are just playing terrible. And it has nothing to do with the coaching. I just don't think they have the personnel they want there yet. And I think a lot of this is because Darnold's playing so well within that system. Do I think he's an MVP candidate? No, I think he comes back to earth. Are they going to be a playoff team? Possibly. They're the Bears. They're the Bears preseason, what I thought the Bears would be. And the Bears turned out to be what they always are. So,
I was just pulling up the NFL stats for quarterbacks this season, and Sam Darnold is
up
very high.
Yeah.
If you had to guess which quarterback has the best passer rating over the last few weeks of the seasons to start the season, who would you guess it is?
In the division or overall?
No, across the board, all quarterbacks. Watched him play on Monday night.
Based upon your reaction, I would say Darnold's up there fairly high.
So, Josh Allen is number one. At 133.7 rating. And we watched him. I mean, he's lights out right now. Tyrod Taylor is next. Now, again, not all of these guys are going to have qualifying. Malik Willis, 122.7. Again, Aiden O'Connell is next. Andy Dalton is next. Stephon Diggs. Again, some of these guys not qualifying. I just mentioned Stephon Diggs in this list. But Sam Darnold is right there at 117.3. So if you take out the guys who don't have qualifying... I mean, which what? Pick a number. I don't care. Tyrod Taylor certainly doesn't have it. He has 36 passing yards for the season.
Yeah.
You know, 8 attempts, 6 completions. Take out Aiden O'Connell, 9 of 12. Take out Stephon Diggs, 1 of 1. You know what I mean? Yeah. Take out Jack Fox, 1 of 1. And Sam Darnold is right there, 1, 2, 3. Is he third behind Josh Allen, Malik Willis, and Sam Darnold?
I mean, it's crazy. Who would you say, though? From an offensive standpoint, has done a better job this year, LaFleur or O'Connell? Now, Minnesota scored 28, 23, and 34. In 23 against one of the best defenses in the league.
It's a very good question. I wonder, Josh, if you think we're looking at the wrong side of the ball, though. Should we be talking more about the defensive side of the ball when it comes to the Vikings and the success they've had? You rattled off the totals for me this morning. Was it like 6, 17, and 7 or something like that?
Yeah, they have kept two opponents under 10 points. I certainly think you can't ignore Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold, but Brian Flores has taken a team that...
Yeah.
I mean, that defense not only suffered like tragedy, but also injury in their secondary. And somehow that defense is one of the better ones that we're looking across the NFL.
From a scoring standpoint, they got to be top five.
Oh, I have to imagine. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I believe haven't allowed more than 10 points in 3 games, and then the Vikings as one of the best defenses. And there's all sorts of ways to view the metrics, but what Brian Flores has got going right now is, I mean, largely fueling everything they've got going there. It gives you hope you can score, and maybe Matt LaFleur, as the kids say, he's been in his bag. Maybe he figures something out, because the first 3 teams haven't been able to at all.
Well, and they are talking about Brian Flores potentially getting a head coaching gig, potentially being, you know, one of those guys who, when there's a vacancy, because of how successful he has been early this year.
The lawsuit and stuff doesn't scare teams off.
It probably would, yes.
Yeah, he's a hell of a he's a hell of a coordinator. No, I'm with you.
You hold
I would
more
think
teams
would get...
to under 10 points, and they're willing to look away.
Yeah,
you know, that doesn't become as tough. So I think I'm leaning Packers this weekend. Still need to see a few things. I think if Jordan's out there, I'm even more confident. But what I said to start the segment was, I am not as nervous about Jordan Love having rust, because I think even a rusty Jordan Love is better than Malik Willis. And I think that Matt LaFleur, if he knows that his quarterback has a smidge of rust, will still be able to scheme up a good game plan. Look, if he could do it with Malik Willis out there, he can do it with Jordan Love. I don't think you throw the whole book at him again, Chu.
Yeah.
I think you recognize that he's coming off of 2 weeks, and maybe the knee is a little bit, he's nervous about testing the knee. So maybe you don't put him in positions to have to test it early on. Ease him into it, if you will.
Yeah. But I mean, these last 2 weeks, though, the defense, not really. I mean, Tennessee's terrible. Their offense, Will Levis, shouldn't even be starting in this league at this point.
That was the number one defense until the Packers came in.
Yes, it was the number one defense. Yeah. You're right there. But this will be a test. I don't think this offense is as good as Philadelphia. But if Addison plays, and Josh, you said it yesterday, you think Jefferson's the best player in football.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a test. And with Aaron Jones, like you said, I don't know if he goes off. But, I mean, he's pretty good back, and he's playing pretty well right now. So this is going to be a test for the defense.
The thing that gives me confidence is the Packers seem to be able to run the ball pretty much against anyone, and I think running the ball that effectively kind of translates no matter where you are or who you're facing.
Yeah.
I don't think that front seven for the Vikings is nearly as talented as the one we saw from the Tennessee Titans. There's no Jeffrey Simmons out there. There's certainly nothing to shake a stick at, but...
But they're playing real well. That's what I don't get. And it sounds to me, Josh, you're with me. You're not buying them yet.
No, I'm not. I'm not there yet. It's Sam Darnold. If you look across, like, look at the names. Harrison Smith's there on their defense, but, like, it seems like some of those guys are playing a little above their head, and I think as the season goes, it all kind of corrects itself at some point.
The Vikings' defense, has it been mostly their pass defense? Have they been grounding pass attacks? Is that an element that we should be paying a little more attention to? I'm also seeing here Minnesota Vikings have the number one pressure defense in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it. I mean, this came out of nowhere, because I think we all had Minnesota at best winning 8 or 9 games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and a lot of that, look, maybe that is because we skew our opinions based on quarterback play, based on who's going to be under center. I know that's what I was doing. I think that's what most of the pundits were doing when they looked at the division. I also think we were coming off of what Detroit did last year.
I mean, how do you guys,
only going to build on that.
How do you guys view Baker Mayfield? Good quarterback?
Capable.
Josh?
I think you're right on there. He's capable with the ability to have extremely high spikes. He's a high variance guy. He'll either be game manager, or every 3 weeks he'll, you know, kind of explode. One of those guys. The consistency for me, I think, is the big issue with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. I'm with you, Jen. I'm leaning Green Bay. If Love plays, I mean, if Malik.
Well, again, as I just mentioned, I just saw an article that was talking about how the Vikings have the number one pressure defense in the league. And that doesn't bode well for a Malik Willis. Now, did we see him and his escapability with his legs? Was he able to make hay, get first downs that way? Yes. But it does feel like everything I'm seeing about the Vikings defense is they're going to pressure you. They're going to blitz. I would rather have Jordan, even with the experience he has out there against the blitz, versus Malik Willis trying to figure that out.
I did a quick cursory search here on the rush yards per game per each team and the pass yards, like the defensive stats. The Vikings have the second best rush defense in yards allowed per game at 71.3, but a lot of that is predicated on the fact that the Vikings have jumped out to a lot of leads, which is important, which is largely the reason the Packers had so much success in the past two games. And the pass yards per game, the Vikings are near the bottom. They are bottom 7 or 8, but that also you need to add the context of teams playing from behind, kind of attacking with the pass.
They are a defense that is going to look different pre-snap, post-snap. They are a defense that sometimes shows 8 in the box pre-snap and then ends up dropping guys, Chew, and only rushing 3.
Yeah.
So I feel a lot more confident with Jordan being able to decipher that, you know, than I do Malik. And again, the knock on Malik was processing, right? seeing what's sure. out there, knowing what that means for mm-hmm. the plays he needs to call. They kind of dumbed it down. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I want to be very clear. It's just a colloquialism, if you will. But they sort of brought it down a level so that he didn't have to do a lot of the thinking. So it was like, what do we call them? Screen run options. And here's your read
option. Run, yeah, I thought that was a big difference maker in the game. But are they going to have to tailor, if Jordan does play with his injury, are they going to have to tailor an offense around that where they really don't want him out of the pocket?
That's what I was going to say.
To run yes. or do too much.
Some of the film that I've watched of the Vikings and the Texans, C.J. Stroud was scrambling a lot, right? He was having to... And do we want Jordan Love scrambling with a knee injury? Maybe that's part of it as well. I still believe Jordan will be out there this weekend. I think that has been the target date that Adam Schefter told us from the beginning. I've said that a lot because that is what is dictating that timeline for me. But don't go into this game, guys, thinking that Flores and company won't be cooking.
Yeah.
Don't go into this game thinking that this will be an easy, you know, easy move in the chains for Green Bay. Because what the Vikings have shown so far is that they're very good at that. They're very good at confusing and frustrating the offenses they've faced to the tune of, gosh, Joshy, I'm not even good at math. 6-7-17 divided by 3. What are they averaging?
I don't know that one off the top of my head, but I would gather it's probably close to 10.
Why did you go right to Joshy?
Well, because if I had to power rank the math whizzes on this show, Joshy is one. Gap! Gap.
I get it.
Me.
It is 10 on the dot. I got confirmation from my help back here. Look at that brain cook.
Just three numbers we had to throw together into the mixer. Wow, we are rough. We got to take a break here on Jen Gabichu. Don't forget, we have Sophia Minner coming up at the bottom of the show to talk about the Brewers, obviously continuing to watch them as the hunt for Brew October heats up. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. That's where Joshy and I will be tonight for weekly wager from 6 to 7. And hopefully... my betting goes better this week than it did last week. Still don't have a total for you, but that's okay. Join us out at Pottawatomie Casino. If you're in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserve parking spaces. Also, you can get a fantastic meal at the kitchen. We'll be up in the VIP deck in the broadcast booth, but you should be enjoying all of the action on their 2,000-square-foot video wall. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to. Ernie, do it, and I don't know
does
how
it ever?
It, so
it's, yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Football season is back, and I am excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. Drink Celsius like me and college stars Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and more. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There is a Celsius for every taste on game day. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit. Sophia Minner coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Brew Crew as they continue to push for playoff baseball. We'll be talking about the Green Bay Packers and taking on the Vikings this weekend. Chewy, let me ask you this. Can they win without Jordan Love? If Jordan Love decides not to play, and I am seeing reaction here, I want to get to this. Mr. 36 in the YouTube chat says, if Love doesn't play, no respect for him as a football player. Not with that contract and the Vikings coming to town and Darnold playing injured. Now, Darnold doesn't have any structural damage in that knee, but yes, he did go out of the game briefly last week, came back in. There was concern about his availability. He will play this week against the Packers. Does Mr. 36 have a case?
I mean, he has a case. I don't know who's pulling the strings here, and I don't. LaFleur's kind of playing the cat and mouse game on being cleared and not being cleared. What I think is it's coming from Jordan and maybe some of his people, but I understand the frustration of the fans because when you see someone practicing and doing team, I think a lot of people are with me from the standpoint of look, part of that $150 million guaranteed that you got I think a lot of people believe if you're 95%, then you should be out there playing. But I don't know. I don't know Jordan's body. I just hate how covert they are. It just drives me nuts. If the guy's doing team and practicing, tell us he's doing team and practicing.
Is that because the margin of victory is so thin? The margin between winning and losing is so thin. Competitive advantage, obviously any competitive advantage you can get, you're going to take. And if a team thinks they need to scheme for two quarterbacks as opposed to one quarterback defensively, that's an advantage. Like, I think it's foolish. The whole thing has been a charade to me. Yeah. The whole thing has been like eye roll to the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
But I do understand if you believe you need every advantage you can get, why would you give it up? Why would you just cash in those chips? May as well play them, right? May as well try, even if it is like grown city.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't. I mean, football's not that difficult. These coaches make it sound like you're learning Latin all over again. And it is tough to a certain extent. But, I mean, they're going to prepare for Jordan. And then it's kind of like their philosophy of, oh, well, we're going to stop the run on the way to the quarterback. You know, we'll prepare for the best and pare down that way. Because you still have to run the same stuff. There's only so many plays you can run and invent in an offense. So, do I think it's a big thing? Do I think it's a huge advantage? No, I don't. But we will. I will, if he's taking team reps on, is today Wednesday? Wednesday. Then we'll know. And they should be able to find that out. See, Bob McGinn back in the day was the greatest, because he would take the weak practice squad guy and extract information out of him, even if it wasn't 100%, and go from there. So they should know.
Even
I just
if the
don't
information
see it as a
wasn't 100%.
Well, stand outside the door, see if Jordan's sweating. You know, is his shirt untucked? Is it tucked in? Does he have the black pellets all over his cleats? I mean, you can figure this stuff out. Daniel, I just think it's... At the end of the day, you have to play football, and the team who executes better is going to win the game. Not like, oh, they didn't know Jordan was playing. I mean, guys aren't that stupid.
Daniel the Sloth weighing in saying, Love should not play this week. They should give it one more game. We are flowing as a team right now. Ride it out one more week. I guess, Daniel, my only... criticism of that would be, so you ride Malik Willis until you lose? Or when you have a better guy who is across the board better, you just go with him when you can, right? I don't buy into, we're rolling right now, let's not mess up the mojo.
I wouldn't have a problem either way, because it's so early in the season, and I picked Tennessee to win, which I thought they would. If Malik plays this week, I'm still picking the Packers because I have that much confidence in LaFleur to come up with a game plan to beat him. So, but this whole thing of, is he cleared? Well, you know, it just doesn't do anyone a service. It's really not that big a deal, I don't think, because they're going to prepare for Jordan either way, unless he's declared out on Thursday or whatever. They're going to prepare for Jordan. Teams aren't that stupid.
I can't remember what I was going to say. I was going to say something. I had an entire conversation with Joshy during that conversation about something that we wanted to talk about, and I couldn't remember. Darn it. Hey, what's going on with your tight end position? Are we going to get that figured out or what?
Who?
All of them. The tight ends, generally speaking. Well, sure, we could talk about the Packers ones, but I'm talking about across the league.
Ah, this all stems from the quarterback stink.
What?
You know, and they're trying to blame it on the tight ends.
What?
They do. Touchdowns are way down. You think it's the receivers or the tight ends that touchdowns are way down? No, it's because there's no preseason and a lot of quarterbacks suck.
And they need the tight ends for blocking purposes, so they're not getting open for receiving purposes?
Rushing touchdowns are up, though, I heard. Right?
Running backs are producing at a higher level.
This is the first week of the season. They played their three preseason games to get it dialed in. What? Hold on. Where's the tight end hate coming from?
It's fantasy dorks, and as a fantasy dork myself, the reason people are mad is because it's hard to predict, and all the guys who were supposed to be the elite tight ends, the Mark Andrews, the Sam Laportas.
Travis Kelce.
Yes. Kelce is...
How's Kittle doing? Hurt, right?
Hurt. Yeah. And hadn't really produced too much. I believe he did score, but it's hard to predict who's going to be a consistent producer.
Well,
the problem is,
see, this is what happens, Joshy.
Yeah.
When your tight end is your best receiver on the team, in the case of Kelce and Andrews, defenders are going to give them a little more attention and make the guys who aren't very good beat you.
The problem with Mark Andrews, and I agree largely on the Kelce thing, he's also like 35 years old. At some point, yes, you just start slowing down.
Sure.
Andrews played 20 snaps, I believe, and had one single target. I think there's just like an injury.
He might
there.
Not be. Yeah.
Yes. That's all I think it is.
What did he have? He hurt his knee last year, right?
It was knee or ankle.
Yeah.
He had that tightrope surgery that everyone kind of is now thinking it's one of those that we should be paying more attention to.
I mean, Hockenson's out. Laporta's not having the year he did last year, but Goff's not playing as well. And Detroit didn't come out of the gates on fire. It just takes time. God, you guys are blaming us, huh?
Oh, yeah. Catching a lot of heat and not catching any passes. I'll tell you that right now. We have to take a break. Sophia Minard is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Talk about the Brew Crew. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you are planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee, and it has deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. Go to their website, stkatearts.com, to book a reservation and learn more.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Hoff had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
To use a baseball reference, we are rounding third, headed for home on the Brewers season. Just 5 games left. After another victory last night for the Brew Crew. Good morning, Sophia. How are you doing today?
That's a good analogy, Jen. We're rounding third.
That's my fault. My fault.
That's where we're at.
Appreciate it. I heard, and I was not there, but I heard that there was some booing going on at AmFam Field on Sunday. And apparently Murph was kind of into it because team was down 8-0. They ended up rallying to win that game. Do you also subscribe to the theory that Murph was putting out there that the team needed to hear boos from the hometown fans to kind of wake them up a little bit? Because to me, I was like, no, this is a first place team. They won the division. Yeah. They deserve a little grace.
I do tend to side with you, Jen, on this one. I like all of that is true, right? Like they just clinched on Wednesday. Sure, there was a little bit of an emotional hangover, maybe physical one for some guys, right? Like the day after. The first 3 games of that Arizona Diamondback series were just not typical of what we have seen from this Brewers team. So I get it, right? And Sunday, one of the coaches said, you know, the first 3 innings of that game, maybe as ugly as what we have seen this team play all year, right? There was just, it was 8-0. There were some mistakes made, just not much offense, like the at-bats, and it wasn't off to a good start. So then the fans started booing, and then they just started chipping away, right? It was a run in the third. It was 2 runs the next inning. Then you're like, okay, it's down to 5, right? It's the middle of the game. There's still a lot of ball game left, as we always say. And Murph has been, like, really honest all year about what the fans mean to this team, right? He's been begging and pleading and asking for fans to come out and see this team and support them because they've earned that. And it is a really fun team to watch. And it's a really good brand of baseball, and it's really competitive. They were frustrated. They didn't like what they saw Sunday afternoon. And then, you know, you talk to the players about it, and they'll tell you, like, no, of course no one wants to get booed. Nobody wants to be booed by their home fans, especially 2 days after you win a division, and they've accomplished so much. But there's everyone's a competitor, right? And it might feed you a little bit. It might get you going. It might piss you off. It might say, okay, like, we'll clean it up and we'll play better. So yeah, it just, I don't know if it was the fans booing or not, but something turned around after that third inning. And obviously it ended up being the best comeback and probably the best win of the year.
Sophia, we had Robin Yount and Murph on Friday, and I asked Robin, I said, how important is it to get this bye? And I was kind of surprised by his answer. He said, not at all. He said, baseball is meant to be played every day. And Murph pretty much echoed what Robin said. Is that smoke or is that what players believe? Because in football, you want that bye. You want that week. And I know football's different, but you want that week to heal. Is that what players think?
I think, look, there's an argument for both. The argument for having the bye and securing one of those top two spots is you get yourself essentially an all-star break, right? You get those 4 or 5 days to physically get some rest. I think more, and this is more important when you're going into a 5-game series, but to set your rotation, right? To get everybody maybe any additional side work they need, your relievers, to get them refreshed and ready to go. Of course, position players benefit from that long, but I will tell you, for position players and for hitters, that is a longer break. I think the All-Star break is different because you know you're coming back to a lot of baseball, and definitely not the urgency and the intensity that the postseason is. So I think that's where, and it's happened to teams before, right? It's happened to teams like the Braves and the Dodgers, where you get that bye and they just come back and they just don't look the same, right? And they get bounced, so then you wonder, oh gosh, was it because they took this time off? Now, if you're a hot team and you come in and you're playing like your hair's on fire just to secure, you know, one of those wild card spots, you want to keep that going, right? I think about the Brewers in 18. That was how they felt all of September. You know, they rattled off 20 wins in the month after being down 5. And then you go into game 163 at Wrigley for the tiebreaker game. And they wanted to, I mean, it was a noon game on a Monday. And they went in there and there was absolutely no doubt they were going to win that game. Like, zero doubt. I mean, it was, they were so confident. And I think that's kind of what Robin is talking about, is when you're playing like that and you've got momentum, you just, that is the rhythm of baseball. You show up the next day and you want to keep it going.
Sophia Minert hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we talk about the Brew Crew as they prepare for the playoffs. Sophia, walk me through the bullpen. What do you see as, what do you think they're going to do? How do you think this shakes out? Who will they carry? How do you think that will shake out over the next few days headed into the postseason?
Yeah, so I think that this is going to be a very interesting puzzle because they're still trying to get, first of all, just for the regular season, they're still trying to get Nick Mears back off the injured list. That could happen as soon as today or tomorrow. Brian Hudson, the lefty, who has been so huge for this team all season, he's been down in AAA since the early part of September now. And now he's in Arizona just continuing his work since the AAA season ended. And then when you look at putting together a postseason roster, navigating a 3-game series is very different than navigating 5, obviously. So if last year is any indication, last year they carried 11 pitchers and 15 position players. They are capped at 13, just like they would be for a regular season roster. And I was talking to one of the guys in the front office over the weekend, and I guess historically in the 3-game wildcard series format, no team has ever used more than 10 pitchers. So I thought that was kind of interesting of, like, you know, you're obviously planning for depth, and I think this Brewers team could get really creative of how you line things up. I think you would assume that, like, Freddie Peralta is going to get game 1. You could make a lot of arguments for who should get game 2. And then in your bullpen, you know, you're going to have your regulars, you know, Devin Williams, Trevor McGill, Yoel Piamps, Aaron Ashby, I think, has absolutely earned a spot in there. You're going to want a good mix of lefties and righties. And then I think it depends on who comes back, right, of that injured group that I was talking about. So they've got some really interesting decisions to make. And it would not surprise me if they got creative in terms of maybe a bullpen game or, you know, how the starters are going to be on shorter leashes, obviously. So, yeah, you're going to do everything possible to win that three-game series if that's what ends up happening next week.
So, Sophia, if they get past that opening round, is there a preference on who they would want to play first, the Phillies or the Dodgers, or does it not matter?
I don't think it matters. I mean, you know you're going to have a tough fight with either one of them. They lost the season series to both of them, if that, you know, factors into anything. I think, you know, it's like with the Phillies, to me, they just seem like the most complete team in the National League. There's obviously more recency there, having just played them here at home. And then I think with the Dodgers, you know, they last saw them in July. So, you know, you're going to have to deal, you know, that top of the lineup with Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, and then, you know, Freddie Freeman, I don't know if I said him, but I mean, that's a Hall of Fame, top four. Yeah. That's just a juggernaut. So I think, you know, you've heard this from this team every day. They want to play good baseball heading into next week. They want to continue to win. They want to continue to play hard. Obviously, you've got to win that wild card series, which anything can happen in a three-game set. And the field looks really interesting. You know, like the Padres clinched last night, so we know they're in. But then between the Diamondbacks, who have now lost three straight since Sunday, that big comeback, the Mets and the Braves, they're beating up on each other right now. So it's going to be really interesting which team is left out. And that's the team, right, that sixth seed, that's the team that the Brewers are going to get if they do indeed stay in the three.
Brewers with a final homestand Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against the Mets. Get out there, support the team, be loud, F and wah, and all of it at AmFam Field. Sophia, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate you.
All right, yeah, let's hope for a fun weekend, this coming weekend.
She's Sophia Minert. You can catch her on Bally Sports Wisconsin, covering your Brew Crew all season long. Joshy?
That conversation with Sophia Minert and all our coverage of the hunt for Brew October is sponsored by, Delta Dental.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. When I need transportation during college football season, I rely on Accutrans to get me where I need to go. Booking is safe and easy and dependable. Just go to their website, AccutransGroup.com, to get a quote and book a reservation today. That's AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation anywhere. Couple of things I want to touch on before we let you go this morning, folks. Aaron Jones has put together a little Players Tribune column, if you will. A message for Green Bay. If you get a chance today, Packers fans, go ahead and read that. I scrolled through it during the break. Seems like a lot of appreciation for his time in Green Bay. Don't take the rat poison. Don't eat it.
What's the
read it. You know, where you're like, oh, Aaron Jones, what a good guy. And again, all of that is true. But this week, he's the enemy. This week, we don't want Aaron Jones to be successful. We don't want Aaron Jones to do well. We want Aaron Jones to have 6 yards.
Ah, really?
For the day.
No. His worst game of the season.
No.
What?
Have 160 and lose.
That's stuff to do.
I like to see good guys do well.
Huh? He is extremely likable. I just see it hard to believe that he'd have 160 yards and the team would lose.
Correct.
Do you blame him at all?
No. Heavens no.
No. You can't blame him at all, right?
No, fine. Go get your money. If somebody's willing to pay you what you want, you should go get it. I have no problem with that. I'm simply saying, don't sit there and
don't have your game.
We really want Aaron Jones to do well. We want him to have a great game. Coming back to Lambeau. No. Be against it. Let him do it all against all the other teams.
Yeah.
Ben weighing in when we were talking to Sophia Minard about the Brew Crew, and we were talking about the booing when they were down 8-0 on Sunday and how they came back to win. He says no grace for the Brewers. The fans in the seats paid good, hard-earned money to attend the game. They didn't come to the game to watch a team put in minimal effort and lose 8-0. When fans spend their money, the least the team can do is put in effort. I don't know. If this is a 500 team, right, and you can tell that they're just out there waffling, okay, boo away. But this is the top team in the division. Wall to wall, start to finish, they held at least a portion of first place in the division all season long. So they had a tough day. Give them a break. Booing your home team this late in the season when the playoffs are around the corner, when they're taking on a team that they could see in the postseason? I don't know. I think it's bad juju, Chew. What do you think?
I think it's weak, especially, yeah, for a team like that that's just about to get into the playoffs, had an unbelievable year. I agree with you. If they're a sub 500 team and lack of effort, then yeah, boo away. But come on, we're about to make a run at this thing. Stand behind your team. How much, you know, I want to ask you guys, how much strategy goes into that last series against the Mets?
Ooh, what do you mean?
I mean, because you could tank, right? Let them win all three and kind of pick who you want to play.
That feels like bad juju.
No?
Tanking the final season of the series?
Let's say you want to play the Diamondbacks, you know? Couldn't you steer your way to playing the Diamondbacks?
Do you want to play the Diamondbacks? They played them pretty tough here last week.
They did, but they're on a three-game skid.
Regress to the mean.
I mean, who would you want to play right now?
I think the Mets.
Well, really?
Why don't you let me see how that final series starts to shake out before I say so? Wasn't Gabe telling us that the Mets, like, they're missing somebody right now?
Francisco Lindor.
Thank you very much. And as he goes, the team goes.
I mean, the thing about the Mets is, like, I just think they're a more talented roster top to bottom, even though we just watched the Diamondbacks play in a World Series.
Thank you.
But it was improbable. Like, if you look at that lineup, you're like, who are these guys?
Oh, you're saying lightning in a bottle type thing?
Yeah.
Can't possibly hit twice.
But that's what I'm thinking.
Would you have a problem with tanking, regardless of who it is, to steer your way to a team you want to play?
No. If you think you have a... But the problem is, I don't think either of these present like a monumental difference in terms of matchup. Like, there's no obvious things where you can see, like, I feel like that happens a lot more in football or in basketball, where you can kind of see this is going to work better against this team. Like, baseball has a lot
total
more, so many more factors that it's pretty rare where you're like, this team is definitively better because of this.
And I gotta tell you what, Joshy, that's a big reason why I don't bet baseball. It's so fluky. I keep going back to the example. Ben Brust used it on week one of Weekly Wager out at Pottawatomie, and he was talking about how the opposing pitcher, his splits, road and home, were astronomical. He had like a 3 ERA at home, and he had a 5+ on the road. And he thought, well, Brewers are going to get to him. Didn't score a single run on him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fluky like that. Guys have nights. Guys have good games. Guys, you know, put together something improbable. And it's just very, I try to look at the props. I try to figure out, oh, does this guy do well on the road or at home? Does this guy do well against lefties or righties?
I usually, the way I've approached betting baseball is I bet against the things we think we know. So if it's the top of the line pitchers and the run total is very low, I'm going to just bet the over because that's how baseball is. Things go wonky so often that there's often value in kind of subverting the common held beliefs.
So what would you bet right now? Because I would bet them making it to the NLCS. Would I get good juice on that?
We got to go to Pottawatomie and check.
I would gather yes, just because.
Okay, because that's the feeling I have right now.
NLCS?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I mean, you just learned what NLCS stood for last week.
I did.
We've made a lot of progress in the
You can even do better if you're able to predict the actual matchup. That has added value to it. So if you wanted to pick a team to go along with.
I think they beat the Dodgers and they play the Phillies.
In the NLCS?
Yes.
It's a tough matchup, Phillies. I mean, look, both of them are tough matchups. I'm not sitting here saying the Phillies are leaps and bounds better than the Dodgers. Dodgers obviously have the best player in baseball. But Phillies for a stretch there. Yeah, I thought that nobody was catching them the way they were playing. Like as far as like night in and night out. That's going to be exciting, though. Yeah. That's the thing, Brewers fans. Enjoy this. We have wanted to be a top team in the league for a long time. We got to the playoffs year in and year out. And now they're talking about, you know, could the Brewers make a deep run in the playoffs? Joshy, you gave us some odds earlier today. What are the odds that you were telling us earlier today?
This is like the ESPN projections. They have the Brewers as, where's my number here? I've lost it. About a 22% to make the NLCS and a 9% chance of winning the World Series.
There you go, Chu. 22%.
I like it. I'll take it.
You want to give me $5 and I'll throw it on the Brewers to be in the NLCS at Pato tonight?
If they win.
Got to make it before the game. Got to make it before the series, pal. Good stuff here. Good stuff coming up. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.